Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. Work, family, friends, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit the reset button. That's when you reach for an ice-cold Coors Light, the beer that's made to chill. Listen, there's a lot going on in Green Bay right now, and I feel like we could all use a moment to chill with a Coors Light. See, Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light is what I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in their all-new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado, and as always, celebrate.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack a Day podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack a Day podcast. Happy Memorial Day weekend, which has already kicked off for most of you. I would hope it is your normal Saturday crew. Well, I don't know how normal it is with me in the mix here, but I am Jason Perrone of the Pack-A-Day Podcast and Game On Wisconsin, along with Mark Eckel of Packer Report and Paul Brettel of Dairyland Express, Cheesehead TV, and the Packers Unrestricted Podcast. As always, it's the weather update. It is the holiday weekend looking beautiful at the beach, Mark?
Actually, it's been gorgeous, and I can't remember the last time it rained, but they are calling for some rain today, so we'll see if they're right or not.
Okay, got it. The way you let in, I thought, oh, it's like stormy, and then you said it's been gorgeous, but that was good, very intriguing.
And that's a good word for today.
Very intriguing. Does the beach get overrun on holiday weekends like this?
Oh yeah, I hate holidays. I've learned because I mean every day is a holiday for me, but yeah, it's Memorial Day, 4th of July. Yeah, it gets. I won't go out this weekend. I'll just because it's too crowded.
Yeah,
restaurants are over. You know, there's a 2-hour wait for a place that you usually just walk right into. Yeah, it's a mess.
See, that's the beauty of living where I live in Phoenix, because there's no beach here, and there's lakes. I mean, a lot of people have boats. Actually, I think Arizona's got some of the highest per capita boat owners in the nation, which is weird. But most people are looking to like go somewhere else because it's starting to get hot. Triple digits are coming, and so it sometimes can be the opposite here where I'm at with holiday weekends. It can be a little quieter, which can be nice. But
yeah,
Paul Brettel, just down the street from Lambeau Field, what is going on? How is the weather cooperating for your long weekend?
Fortunately, it is, and that's good news because on Wednesday I had to turn the heat back on. We had some lows. The lows were in the upper 30s, highs, upper 40s, low 50s, cloudy, rainy. But that was just Thursday and Friday. The sun's out now, 60s, 70s this weekend. Beautiful.
Nice. Good stuff. Well, gents, so for this show, we are rolling with the topic of who is the, I guess, either most intriguing player or player we are most excited about. So we'll go around the horn and we'll go through each of our selections. And as a precursor, none of us picked Jordan Love, not because we don't like Jordan Love, but because it's too obvious. Obviously, he's getting all of the snaps and minicamp and until the quarterback situation gets figured out, or maybe it won't. So Jordan Love will not be amongst any of these picks, but it wasn't because we didn't think of Jordan Love. I just want to make sure we precursed that. So, Mark, let's start with you this time. Who is your most intriguing Packers player heading into the 2021 season?
Well, mine is, intriguing is the word. That's the word that I used. It's Preston Smith, because I'm very curious to see which Preston Smith we see in 2021. Do we see the 2019 Preston Smith, who was, I mean, he didn't make the Pro Bowl, but he very easily could have. He was, I thought he had a tremendous season. Zadarius got a little more, you know, recognition, but Preston in 2019, I mean, he had his best year sack wise. He had a ton of pressures. He covered he did everything. He really did. He was all over the place. I thought he had a remarkable season. And then last year, as we all know, he kind of slipped back. Didn't do much. I mean, he wasn't terrible. I'm not going to say he was terrible, but he wasn't the same guy. Now, what I'm encouraged by and why he's also intriguing to me is I remember last year at this time, the guys who covered the Packers on a regular basis, writing that, he looked a little heavier. He looked a little out of shape. And I think that obviously played a part in him not having as good a season. Well, now I'm reading that he came in looking in great shape, so there's the part that intrigues me again. Maybe obviously he felt the need to get in better shape and to lose some weight, and he did all that. And if he's good, if he's what he was in 2019, and Zadarius just continues what he did in 2019 and 2020, and Rashawn Gary takes that, he took a big step last year, and if he takes even another small step this year, you're talking about some people going to get to the quarterback, and that's going to make this defense. I mean, there's nothing like a pass rush. A pass rush makes your cornerbacks better, makes your linebacker, makes everything better. So, to me, Preston, which Preston Smith we see this year will determine a lot of, I think, how good the Packer defense will be.
Now, he really fits the definition of exactly what you said. He's a kind of there's two sides, like the double side of the coin. Which side of the coin is going to come up? Paul, I'll start with you on your thoughts with Preston Smith as one of the more intriguing names to watch out for this year.
Yeah, 100%. It was like a week or two ago at Dairyland Express, I came out with my five intriguing players that I was looking for, and Preston Smith was, of course, on that list because, I mean, what are we going to see from him this year? As Mark said, it was kind of was a big drop off. We kind of see him opposite ends of the spectrum from him in terms of production. But when you have Zadarius, Rashawn Gary, and Preston Smith on the field together, and if you haven't yet, go to the Packers Twitter account. Larry McCarron on Friday put out a really good 2-3 minute video talking about the Packers Nitro package, that they call it, where the Smiths and Gary are on the field together, and just how disruptive that can be. And if Preston can regain some of that 2019 form, and 12 and a half sacks, I believe it was, 60-plus pressures, he doesn't even have to be that dominant. Obviously, we hope he is. But if he can just be returned to even somewhere in the middle of the 2019-2020 seasons, paired with Zadarius, paired with Rashawn Gary taking a step forward, of course, you got Kenny Clark on the inside, I mean, that's a really, really formidable defensive front. And as we all know in the game of football, the name of the game is getting after the quarterback. And the Green Bay Packers, they have the horses to do so. Now it's just time to perform.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think Rashawn Gary is going to help out too, because if Preston Smith has to come out and be the guy that he was in 2019 after what we saw last year, I don't know. I like the fact that he's slimmed down, but the quarterback also is slimmed down too. Apparently he was down 15 pounds. So everybody's slimming down. So I don't know. We'll see if that's actually the key to being more slender and svelte and getting after the quarterback. I can tell you this right now. The other reason I like your pick, Mark, is because Preston Smith also, if he doesn't put up in 2021, he might get a chance to play again. But, his days are going to be numbered in the NFL because he's getting up there in years. Not old, but he's getting up there in years, and his production just fell off as much as it did. And I think all those things kind of factor into it. So,
it will also factor into his contract.
Right. Exactly.
If he returns to 2019, he's gonna make some money, whether it's in Green Bay or elsewhere. If he puts up another 12 sacks, guys that get 12 sacks make a lot of money. If he goes the wrong way, if 2021 is, like you said, if he continues to decline, you're right, he's going to be playing for a one-year minimum with some teams saying, okay, we'll give you a shot and see what you got.
Yep, exactly. So if you had to pick which direction you think it's going to go, where are you leaning right now, or are you not sure yet?
I'm going to say, as Paul kind of alluded to, I don't think he's – I mean, 2019 was a career year for him. He wasn't that good in Washington. I was amazed that because I saw him play a lot in Washington because I was covering the Eagles, but so I saw him twice a year. I always thought he was a decent player. I never thought he was a 12 and a half sack that like what he did in 2019. But so I think he'll be. I really do think getting in better shape is a key. I mean, that's always a key to any player in any sport. And he wasn't in shape last year, obviously, and it took a toll on him. So I think we'll see. He'll be better than he was last year, but not as good as he was in 2019, which is fine. I mean, he probably won't get as much. I mean, Gary's going to get a lot more snaps. I mean, in 2019.
I was just going to say that.
The two Smiths took most of it. I mean, Kyle Fackrell was still there and got some, but it was those two guys getting the majority of snaps. I think in 2021, you'll see the three of them, hopefully the three of them, that means Preston's playing well. They will be on the field all three at once, like that nitro package, which I can't wait to see. But that'll keep them fresher too. I mean, that's the other thing. Guys think, people think sometimes when you're getting less snaps, it's a bad thing. No, sometimes it's a good thing because, rushing the passer is a difficult thing to do. It really is. And it takes a lot out of you to be going after the quarterback, time after time after time. So if you can get some, breathers during the course of a game, it's going to help you. And then it'll help you for that game. But then if you get rest through the course of the season, you're going to still be fresh in, December and January when it really matters.
As Mark often does, he beat me to the punch on this one. But I was going to say an intriguing aspect about Preston Smith as well is the snap counts, because I think that was an overlooked part of, because I think most of us, I won't say all, most of us assumed that he was going to be a cut candidate this offseason. And with that, Rashawn Gary would have went into the edge rusher too alongside of Za'Darius Smith. But now, what's that balance going to look like this year? Gary took a big jump forward in year two. He's an ascending player. You want him on the field getting those reps. I mean, that's a big part for a young player in their growth is playing and getting more opportunities. So Smith was on the field for almost 80% of the snaps last year, and I think it's something I wrote about. I probably did because I write about everything. But I had written about Gary getting more of a share towards that latter portion of the season, and we didn't really see that. They still stuck with Preston Smith. So I think that's going to be something really intriguing as well, sticking with that term. What's the snap breakdown between those two going to be this season?
I'm glad they brought him back. I'd rather have Preston Smith on this roster than not. I think the three of them, again, running it back, even is a much better situation than Rashawn Gary, more snaps, Za'Darius Smith, and then figure out the rest.
I think in Joe Barry's defense, I think you're going to see a lot of different looks. I think you're going to see, Za'Darius and Gary at times with their hand on the ground. And we saw at times with Patton as well. With their hand on the ground, and then Smith standing up. So Preston Smith standing up. So there's ways that there's obvious ways to get the three of them.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All involved, and I think we'll see that, especially if it's third and nine or whatever, on obvious passing downs. I think you want all three of them out there. The other thing I was going to add is that with Preston Smith, he did play better the last quarter of last season. I think was his best. He played better. He played his best
at the end of the season. He did get better. A lot of people point to the fact when he was kind of quote-unquote benched for Gary. Gary started a couple games, and a lot of people think that might have woke him up a little bit. But whatever reason, I thought he played better near the end of the season than he did at the beginning or even the middle.
Yeah, I agree. The other thing, too, that we've talked about before on this show, whenever a player declines a little bit, and we don't always have all the scoop, and I'm not saying I know for sure that was the case, but you also don't know if they're dealing with a nagging injury or they're dinged up a little bit.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times we find out after the fact, like, you know, there's been, especially with the Packers, there's been more than a couple of those over the years.
Yeah, there was a broken knee situation a couple of years ago that we found out about after the fact.
Well, Devontae Adams' second year, when everybody wanted to cut him, he was playing hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, and then, you know, we saw when he got healthy what he could do. And I don't know, again, I don't know if Preston was hurt. I really, and again, maybe I'm making too big a deal of this, but I don't think he was, and especially beginning of the season, I don't think he was in football shape, and it showed. But by the, you know, maybe by the end of the year, he worked himself into a little better shape, and he played better. And this year, apparently, according to the guys that are there that see him, they're all saying he looks like he's in the best shape he's been, you know, going back to 2019. So hopefully that'll all add up to a good year for him.
The way I can wrap it up and put like a bow on top of this with Preston Smith is that he wasn't bad last year, but fans were frustrated because he wasn't the previous year's version of himself. And so there was this perception that, oh, he's not, he got his money and then he's taking time off, he's making business decisions, he's not playing hard, all those types of things. But like I said, I still think Preston Smith being on this team, I mean, he was part of two defenses that helped this team get to the conference championship game. So like we've said, I'd rather have him on the field than not. So Preston Smith is Mark's choice. So Paul, who you got? Most, are you going most intriguing or most excited to watch player in 2021?
I'm going more along lines of intriguing, and I would group this individual in the same category of Preston Smith, and what the heck are we going to see from them? And that's Kevin King. And this is twofold. One, our lasting image of him, of course, is that play in the NFC Championship game where Scotty Miller goes a run-in by him. But I'm here to defend Kevin King a little bit today. That, of course, is not what his entire career was in Green Bay by any means. He's battled injuries. He's had his ups and downs, but there's been plenty of good as well. The issue comes with the consistency, and as a coach, you hate inconsistency. Kevin King, are we going to get an F performance from him? Are we going to get a B plus, A minus performance? And that's not even game to game. Sometimes that's literally series to series with him. It's just been that up and down. So now another year in the defense working under Jerry Gray, excuse me, couldn't remember, Jerry Gray, and then in this new Joe Barry defense, how is he going to bounce back? Is he going to bounce back? Like I said, we don't know that for certain, but there has been positives. He had 5 interceptions. I believe 4 of them were in the red zone in 2019. And even last year as well, he had a stretch where he didn't give up any touchdowns during that second half of the season. So there's that aspect of it. How does he bounce back from, I mean, even the mental aspect of just struggling as much as he did in that NFC Championship game? There's also the injury history with him. Can he stay healthy? Can he stay on the field? And then there's the addition of Eric Stokes, who the Packers drafted in the first round this year. How do those two? How does the playing time for those two unfold? I don't think it's going to be Stokes, you know, 100% cornerback two come week one. My guess is he's going to have a similar ascension in a rookie year as Jair Alexander did, where still sees a good amount of playing time, and then hopefully eventually he could take over more of the CB2 role. But Kevin King is still absolutely going to be a part of this defense, at least early on. So does he push the rookie? Does he kind of give in? Does his game take a step forward with that added competition? There's just so much unknown, just even individually looking at how King bounces back, but also when you add Eric Stokes to the mix, what's going to happen between those two?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's necessarily a matter of King and Stokes being on the field at the same time. I mean, that would be great. It would be ideal. That would mean Stokes showed very well in training camp. Now, he hasn't even signed his contract yet. He's not even in camp. Stokes and Amari Rodgers have both not signed their deals, so they're yet to be signed and put on the uniform and really do a whole lot. I know they were in that rookie camp that they participated in, but I think Kevin King is going to kind of murk some things up a little bit and come out and play well early on, and everyone's going to be eating a little bit of crow on him. And there's going to be kind of a, well, what do we do now? We got Kevin King, and I think it's going to end up being, like we've said, the good problem to have as far as the corner situation goes. Mark, what are your thoughts? I know you like the Stokes pick. He's fast. Kevin King, we've talked about Kevin King. What are your thoughts on Mark's choice there, or Paul's choice there?
Well, yeah, he's intriguing. He certainly fits that description. I don't think I'm as confident. Well, my thing with Kevin King, and I like Kevin King. I did. I defended him from the time the Packers drafted him, basically. But my problem with him is, and Paul alluded to this, he can't stay healthy. And, you know, the old cliche, right? The best ability is durability and availability and all that kind of stuff. I mean, and I think he was hurt. He was hurt. He was hurt because we talked about it going into, because we do injuries during the season. You know, was he going to play in the championship game? And, you know, he did play. You know, he didn't play well, but he played, but he was hurt. And, you know, there's that, you know, he's been that way from the time, you know, I think he was he hurt at Washington even too? I'm trying to remember, but I think he was. I mean, the guy just—it's a shame. I hope he can finally put together a 16-game season and play all 16 without nagging little injuries and big injuries and all kind of injury. You know, because if he does, yeah, he's a very solid cornerback. He's not a star, but he's a very solid. You know, and when you have a Jair Alexander as, you know, he's your star corner, King's a perfect compliment when he's healthy.
Yeah. So, well, if he plays 16, he would still, he'd still be missing a game because they're 17 this year.
Oh, yeah, they're 17. No, you're right. I hate that, too. I hate 17 games. I really
odd number. Don't like it. Exactly.
I don't like it. No, because you can't go five. The beauty is, like you said, they're a 500 team. Well, now nobody can be a five. Well, I guess you can go 8-8-1, but well, you know what? I'll let him miss one game. How's that? If he plays 16, I'll be happy.
Well, the Eagles and the Bengals aren't playing each other this season, so there won't be any ties.
Never know. There's always one somewhere, it seems like.
Yeah,
it's not a coincidence that King's best season was his healthiest season.
Yes, I mean that. You know, when he's healthy, he's, like I said, he's a good player. But the problem is, he's, like I said, even last year he played, and I give him credit here. I give him credit. He gutted it out. He knows the rap on him. He's not, you know, he's not a dumb guy by any means. He knows that what we say and what other people say, that he can't say he's not healthy a lot. So he played through injury, which I commend him for. But he's not himself. But he's like anybody. I don't care who you are. When you're Kenny Clark, wasn't healthy at times last year. But you see a difference in a healthy. I mean, when Kenny Clark's healthy, he dominates games. When he's not healthy, he's still pretty good, but he doesn't dominate.
Right. Well, you look at his length, and it's like they finally get this big corner, and yeah, if he stays healthy, he'll be good. But I think the Packers had to protect against the future a little bit and say, look, if he's not going to be healthy, and if he's only going to give us 12 games, well, we've got to figure out the other five games and what we're going to do at corner. And You know, it's a position that can really bite your team if you don't have depth. And as far as added talent this year, I mean, you got some really young guys. You know, Kadar Holman, I think we can assume, is probably not going to play a bunch on defense. He's going into his third year and hasn't gotten on the field much. Josh Jackson, we've talked about before. He's, you know, he could have been a good discussion for today, potentially. Just, you know, what's going to happen with him. Kavion Ento is young, unproven. Shamar Jean-Charles, late round pick, unproven. Don't know anything about him. Our guy Stanford Samuels. And let's not forget about Shannon Sullivan, too. So, I mean, there's a lot of youth there, but a lot of unproven youth. So the Packers had to do what they had to do, and I think that was obviously, you know, the Stokes pick was there to kind of help with the help give the cornerback room a boost and mitigate against any missed time. But all right, so
the thing with King also, I mean, is that you had said earlier, Jason, that, you know, or Paul, one of you said that you know, a lot of us thought Preston Smith wasn't going to be on the team this year. I thought that was obviously a possibility. I never thought Kevin King was going to be on the team this year. He was a free agent, and I, with the Packers' salary cap problems and you know, the way the season ended for, I didn't think there was much of a chance at all that they were going to re-sign him. I was pretty shocked when the word came out that they re-signed him to a 1-year deal. I mean, did you guys didn't think he was coming back, right?
Not at all.
I thought there was a better chance than not that he was probably going to get cut. But for me, it was a money thing.
No, he would have been cut. He was a free agent. I mean,
Or not brought back. Yeah, for me, it just was like, look, but I also knew they had some other things that they wanted to address in the draft. Not that you draft for need. But I was like, but if they don't bring him back, then, yeah, I mean, I'm fine with Rashad Gary playing more snaps and Z, but the depth, it's the depth there. Because then you're getting into...
No, I meant King. Did you think King was coming back?
Oh, Kevin King. I really didn't have a take either way. I wasn't sure. I mean, because nobody signed him. As soon as he wasn't signed after the first couple days in free agency, I mean, that's a starting corner that's played. He's been your starter for the last, what, 3-4 seasons, and he didn't get signed the first couple days of free agency. So that to me says that the Packers had some options. They were probably going to be able to get him back at a reasonable deal. So I was on the fence. I was just kind of riding it out and seeing what was going to happen. It wouldn't have surprised me either way.
Okay.
And the money makes sense. I mean, for what they're paying him, if you get 2019 Kevin King for what they're paying him, well, the Packers are making out really, really well. Then obviously it's, you know, the risk has been taken out. A lot of the risk has been taken out. So if he does regress back and miss a bunch of time and doesn't play, well, now he's, and not like he was making a bunch before in his rookie deal, but he's not making typical starting quarterback money to where it would be a really disappointing and a very, very low value type of a situation as far as King goes. So you guys both went defensive side of the ball, and I actually swung around to the offensive side for my pick. And I kind of had two. One of them was Amari Rodgers, who we've talked about a lot because, you know, obviously we haven't seen him in the Packers offense, but I think he's the rookie that has the most eyes on him for the 2021 class. And I would put that even over Stokes because of all of the things that Rodgers is probably going to be asked to do, or hopefully the Packers can get out of him. And I guess I'm speaking just as much to the special teams contributions as I am at wide receiver. I think he will slowly work his way onto the field at wide receiver because, first of all, I mean, it's the NFL. He's got to learn the offense, learn the terminology. First, he's got to sign his contract, and he's got to learn the terminology and everything that goes with that. And if the quarterback is going to be who it's been for a long time in Green Bay, we all know that it takes a while to build up that chemistry, the trust, and all those other, you know, other intangibles. So Amari Rodgers, kind of an easy choice there. But I went with Devin Funchess as my most intriguing player because I looked at his stats. He's been in the league for 5 seasons, but really he's only played in 4 because last year he got hurt in 2019 he got hurt so early with the Colts, and then he opted out last year. So he hasn't played football in 2 years. But if you go back to 2017, he was a full-time starter for the Carolina Panthers when Cam Newton was at quarterback, and he had 63 grabs, 840 yards, 8 touchdowns, and he had some long ones too. He had some long catches too. in there. It caught 40 first down balls. That would be a welcome addition to the Packers offense this year if you're going to take snaps away from it. I guess I'm looking at kind of the bottom of the receiver depth chart. Now, let's assume Funchess makes the team, right? So, but if you're thinking about Funchess over someone like an Equanimeous St. Brown, who was just wildly inconsistent last year, which was disappointing to me. I mean, EQ is kind of intriguing to me, too, because it's like, well, what's going
to happen? Where did he go to college?
I'm not sure. Paul, do you remember where Equanimeous St. Brown played his college ball? Or
Mark's favorite school. I know he's got a couple Notre Dame sweaters in his college, or in his sweatshirt or closet.
I don't hate Notre Dame. I hate Notre Dame skill players.
So. Right. Well, on the opposite side of the rivalry is Devin Funchess, the Michigan man. So, but I think if Funchess does make this team, veteran savvy, I mean, he's coming back. He's playing in Green Bay. This is finally his first year to get a chance to play with, you know, I'm sure he's hoping to catch passes from Aaron Rodgers. There's a lot to like here. I mean, I think he offers just as much, if not more, towards that middle of the receiver depth chart than what they currently have. So it's hard not to want to see what he does. And, you know, I'm always intrigued. When the Packers sign free agents, and listen, free agent wide receivers are not very frequent in Green Bay, I'm always interested to see how they'll fit in, what they're going to look like in the offense, and what kind of a role they carve out. Because from one situation to the next, it's different. What he did in Carolina may not necessarily be what he does in Green Bay. And we were talking pre-show, and I don't know if you guys remember this, but back in 2017, it was late in the season. The Packers were, Rodgers had just come back. They were kind of, I think it might have been his first game back. They were kind of still maybe fighting for a playoff spot. They had an outside shot. And they had to beat Carolina, and Packers are on defense, and Clay Matthews calls out the play and says, it's that wheel route, watch that wheel route. And Cam Newton just winks at him and says, oh, you've been watching your film. And then he threw it to Funchess. And I think that was Funchess. I think he threw a touchdown pass to Devin Funchess, who was with the Panthers at the time. So what are your thoughts? I mean, obviously, Amari Rodgers, we can save that for another time. We're going to talk about him quite a bit, but Paul, what's your thoughts on Devin Funchess and what we might see from him this season?
Well, I love this pick from you because I wrote about Funchess for Cheesehead TV on Friday, and it was kind of along the similar lines. My opening sentence was basically, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know what to expect because I have absolutely no idea. And I think that there's plenty within 1265 Lombardi Avenue who have no idea either. He could be someone who makes a big impact this season, or he could be cut. Like, I think it, and anywhere in between, I think that that's what the spectrum is for him. He's that typical big-bodied receiver that the Packers like. Doesn't have blazing speed, but he uses that frame to create space, can play in the slot, can play out wide. He really could form a nice 1-2 punch in the red zone with Rodgers, that jump ball ability coming out of the slot there as well. But this is actually, for all the talk about Rodgers not having enough weapons, this is actually a fairly congested wide receiver room because really the top four spots are accounted for. They're returning their top three players in Adams, Lazard, and MVS, and really Funchess's skill set and Lazard's skill set, they're kind of redundant. And then you throw Amari Rodgers in there. So four spots are accounted for. And if the Green Bay Packers keep six receivers on the roster, I believe that's what they did last year, that's Funchess, EQ, Malik Taylor, Reggie Begelton, I think would be kind of the top guys for those spots. And if Funchess comes out and he's head and shoulders above those guys, absolutely, put him on the roster. But if he has rust to shake off, which he absolutely might, it's been 2 years since he's played in a regular season game when week one rolls around. It's going to be 3 years since he's played just a full season in general. So if he's close to someone like EQ, I would choose EQ in that situation because I would choose the upside. I know EQ's been inconsistent, but there's still that developmental ability there. We know who Devin Funchess is, and if this was for wide receiver two or wide receiver three, then sure, go with Funchess, go with the stability. But this is back of the roster, you know, wide receiver five, wide receiver six. To me, in that situation, you got the stability already ahead of those guys. Go with upside. Take the swing for the fences. Go for the home run. So for me, Funchess needs to come out this camp and show that he's, like I said, head and shoulders above those guys. And in a vacuum, just looking at pure skill set, he absolutely is. He is absolutely a more talented player than EQ, Malik Taylor, Begelton. But with 2 years off, is that what we're going to see, especially in a new offense as well? I know those other guys haven't performed, but they've been in the Matt LaFleur offense. And I think there's something to say about that. They've been in practices with Aaron Rodgers. Devin Funches hasn't either. So I agree. He's absolutely intriguing. He could be a 500-yard receiver for the team this year, a couple touchdowns, or he could be not even make it to week one.
Yeah, I mean, I would all love to see EQ blossom and turn into something. I mean, he's had some injury issues for a couple seasons, and I know that the quarterback likes him, at least to an extent. Kind of had some issues late in the season. You got to show up big in the biggest games, and EQ kind of shriveled a little bit there. But as far as Devin Funchess goes, Mark, and Paul's take on the depth chart there, which was really good points there. If this is another one of those low risk, high reward potentials, because you're not asking Funchess to come in and be your number two.
Oh no, he's not a two. He's fighting for 4 or 5. Yeah, mm-hmm. And here's my thing, which bothers me a little bit. He's not at practice, right?
Right.
What the hell is he thinking about? I mean, he needs to be there. He needs to show the coaches what he can do. He needs to show the coaches that he doesn't have that rust that you were talking about. Or if he does, now's the time to get rid of the rust, right? I mean, I'm baffled. I understand some other guys not being there and the NFLPA saying what they're saying, but Devin Funchess is not a guy that can afford to – that shouldn't be missing any time with his new team. I mean, the guy opted out last year. Listen, I'm not going to rip anybody for opting out over COVID. That's a personal choice. But get your butt in there now. I mean, come on. You're not helping yourself there. So that's strike one against him. What I do like about him, like you said, his size. I remember when he was coming out of Michigan in that draft, I remember, talking to different scouts about him. Some teams liked him. Some teams were going to make him a tight end if they had taken him. That's how that's how big he is. They were going to put a couple more pounds on him, and actually make him a tight end. He does the kind of things that Matt LaFleur likes. And he's obviously a decent blocker. He could help the team. He could if he could be the guy he was like you mentioned a year that he had with the Panthers. But I don't think he's going to get the opportunity to put up those kind of numbers because there's only one football, and Adams is going to get his, and MBS is going to get his, and the tight ends are going to get some, and Aaron Jones is going to get But I think in this, as the game becomes more and more specialized, he could be your designated red zone guy. And the Packers did pretty good in the red zone until the playoff game. Maybe he makes a difference there. I mean, he is a big, big target. You can throw to fade. You can do a lot of things with him. You can create a lot of mismatches. If you get him on a 5'11 corner, a skinny 5'11 corner, he can muscle his way, to a touchdown. So there's a lot that he could add. I don't think he's going to get cut. I know, Paul, that's a great line. He could be an impact guy or he might not make the team. I think he'll make the team. I like I said, I wish he was there now, though, because he's not helping himself. But I don't think he makes a big impact, but I think he might be – he'll make some very important – if all goes well, I think his ceiling is he'll make some big catches for them. Not a lot, but he'll make some important third down, third and whatever, or – third and goal, maybe even fourth and goal if they don't kick a field goal.
Yeah, 6'4", 225. You throw 20 pounds on him, and then you've got Funchess, Davante Adams, who can, might as well be 8 feet tall when he's anywhere on the field, especially in short yardage. And then Big Bob Tonyan. And, you've got options when you're in short space and you're looking to get in the end zone.
And I don't know if you guys have seen any of the videos from this offseason that he's posted of himself, working out and playing basketball. That is an extremely well put together 6'4", 225. He's massive.
I thought he was more than 240. He was more than that coming out. He was like 230 something at one point. Maybe he's trimmed down over the years, but because I remember it was like 50. It was almost like 50. I don't talk to all 32 teams, but back then I was probably talking to at least 8 or 9 scouts, and it was almost like 5'4" or 4'4", whatever it was. Like half the teams really didn't want to make. They thought he would be a one of those tight ends that causes mismatches, you know, because he has decent speed for his size. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not a burner, but for a guy that big, he can run a little bit. Obviously Carolina is the team that took him, and they had no intention of making him a tight end. They had good tight end then. They needed a wide receiver, but yeah, I mean, he's had a, you know, he's a good, he could be a very good player or an important player.
One other thing I want to mention with Funchess, and doesn't mean that this is going to be an impact him this year, but drops have been an issue. In two of his first four seasons, he was top five among receivers in drop percentage. The third season, he ranked like 12 or 13, so still very high. So that has been something that's plagued him through those first handful of years.
We don't like that.
No, and we know number 12 doesn't either.
Oh, no. He don't give you a chance to drop a cut. You drop one or two, you, guess what? You're not dropping the third because you're not getting the ball thrown to you again.
Well, that's what worries me about EQ is he had a couple big drops, right? Too, and so, yes. You know, will that...
Well, it's time to drop him, I think. I'm get rid of him. Send him the way of the Kaiser and Dexter Williams. put him out on that Irish farm, whatever it is. They send Notre Dame players to him. Get rid of him.
Well, there you go. All right, guys. Well, that was a good list. Good group of players. Good conversation about intriguing. We'll see what comes up next week, and if there's any news, man, we were on a roll with news for a while, and it's been like we've actually had to really come up with our topics for these past couple weeks.
That's okay too. That's good.
Packers are making us work.
Well, they made it easy for us for a while.
That's true.
Very, very easy, and we were very fortunate, too, the weekend news dump. So let's go around the horn with what is going on around the – shouldn't call it the blogosphere, but over at Packer Report, Mark, what's happening this week?
Up now I have a story. I got a hold of my old buddy Al Harris, who's being inducted into the Packer Hall of Fame in August, and had a nice conversation with him. I don't know if you saw the story yet, but it's up there now.
Yeah, it was really well done. And,
thank you. Yeah, Al's a great guy. Like I said, I've known him from his rookie year, his second year in the league when he came to Philly. I never knew how much he loved Green Bay. I mean, he really, mm-hmm. really loved the city, everything about it. He called it a special place.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he cried when they called him and told him that he was going into the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
So that story's up. And I also had a story earlier in the week where I talked to Mark Ross, the former director of college scouting for the Bills and Eagles and the assistant general manager for the Giants.
Big Jordan Love guy.
Yes, who really likes Jordan Love. He's on NFL Network now. He talks up Love whenever he can. So I just had him go through Love versus every other starter in the league. And, you know, I said, like, all right, so you're the general manager of a team. And the Packers call you and say, we'll trade you Love for your guy. Do you say yes or no? And we went through the whole list. Yes, yes, no, no, no. And believe it or not, where do you – I mean, that's hard. I'm not going to put you on the spot. But he had more yeses than no's. Where he has Love above the halfway. He said if Jordan Love is the Packers starter, it's not going to fall apart. He said there'll be some growing pains, but he thinks the guy can play. And like I said, he ranked them ahead of, I believe, 17 of the other 31 quarterbacks, possible potential starting quarterbacks, which is pretty high for a guy that hasn't taken a snap yet, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then I don't know what I'm doing next week yet, so I think I'm going to look at the running game a little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, the running backs are at training camp, and A.J. Dillon and his quads are at mini camp there, and so that's good to see. It's absolutely good to see. And Aaron Jones, too. So not all the bets are sitting out, but, yeah, the wide receiver thing, kind of intriguing that many of them were not going to be there. But, Paul, what's happening over at Cheesehead TV and Dairyland Express?
Like I said, Cheesehead TV on Friday had an article out about Devin Funchess. Today at Dairyland Express, I enjoyed putting this one together. It is one stat to know about each of the Green Bay Packers draft picks.
Nice. Very, very good stuff. And I will have the Quick Slants podcast out on Wednesday as usual. It's almost the month of June. Hard to believe 2021 is almost half over.
Speaking of that, June 2nd could be an important day.
Could be.
I'm just saying.
It absolutely could be.
I'm not saying, but I'm just saying.
Just not just
signing his extension that day?
Right.
Well, we're getting
he already did. Congratulations on signing with the Packers.
I'm not just around the league, June 2nd, I mean, guys are going to, you know, some veteran players are going to get cut on June 2nd because their teams are going to save, you know, cap space. It's going to be a newsworthy day. Not necessarily in Green Bay, but around the league. And it might be for Green Bay because if certain guys get released that, you know, they might be interested in, if a linebacker or something, you know, we'll see. But it's going to be June 2nd. Well, that's Wednesday. June 2nd is Wednesday.
Yep. Right? Wednesday. Yep.
So good. The cuts will happen Wednesday, and the Packers will pick up a guy on Friday.
So my show will come out, and then all the news will hit, and it'll be obsolete within hours. Good to note. Absolutely good to note. Well, this has been a fun one. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your Memorial Day weekend. Enjoy celebrating, and as always, be safe. Don't forget your sunscreen. And go, Pack, go.